Let me pour myself this glass before I get started. Hello, my true crime lovers, and welcome back to Crime-a-Rita, hosted by yours truly, Ivis. So, thank you for joining me while we're all in quarantine, all locked down. And I want to tell you guys what I'm sipping on this lovely day. Day 607 in quarantine. But so I'm actually drinking a triple berry margarita. I call it the triple berry dare ya. It has blackberries, strawberries, blueberries with blueberry and strawberry mixer of margarita, and it's actually, it has more fruit than anything, but it's actually really, really good. I'm gonna actually give it from 1 to 10. I'm gonna give it a strong 7. It's really, really good. It's not as sweet as I usually like it because it has like more of like a fruity taste to it, natural, I guess, if you want to say it. I don't know. Either way, it's really good. If you want to give it a try, go to ShopRite. Go to any liquor store. I said ShopRite because, you know, ShopRite. You know what? Don't even go to ShopRite right now. Just go to any liquor store and get yourself the mixers and get yourself some fruit. And just shake it all up and pour yourself a glass and chill. And then dive in with me. Now, so today's story on Crime-a-Rita is going to be Yeah, heard that chainsaw? So today we're going to be talking about the real chainsaw massacre. The real person behind that crazy ass mask. And his name is Edward Theodore Jean. Born on August 27, 1906, from Wisconsin. Now, so he was also known as the Butcher of Plainfield or the Plainfield Ghoul. He was an American convicted murderer and a body snatcher. Now, his crimes were committed around his hometown of Plainfield, Wisconsin. And before I dive into like the story of like him and how everything happened, I'm gonna just tell you guys a little bit about him so you guys can understand why. Well, not really understand, but you'll kind of get why I'm kind of like gonna tell you guys more about his childhood and what caused him to like be where he's at now. So Ed was born obviously in Wisconsin. Now he had two other brothers, right? And his mom and his dad were together, but his dad was an alcoholic. His dad's name was George. His mom's name was Augusta, and she actually really hated her husband, and she's actually really crazy, like really crazy from what I've read of like his childhood. Augusta hated her husband because he was an alcoholic. He was unable to keep a job. He had worked at plenty of spots though before, like he couldn't really hold a job. He was a carpenter, a tanner, and an insurance salesman. Now he also owned a local grocery shop for a few years, but then sold it, and then the family left the city and then lived in isolation in this anchor of 155 acre in a farm in Plainfield, which became Jean's family permanent resident. Now, Augusta took advantage of the farm isolation by turning away outsiders who could influence her son. So she was, like, really crazy. Like, she really just wanted her kids to be with her at all times or around the farm. So she would, like, avoid them from going anywhere. Edward left the farm only to attend school. Outside of school, he spent most of his time doing chores around the farm. And his mom was really religious. Now, she preached to her boys about the world. Talk about how evil it is to drink. And she also believed that women, except herself, of course, because she's delusional, were naturally instruments of the devil. It's crazy because this is a woman who supposedly is religion, but then she's telling her kids not to, she's a hypocrite because she's basically saying every woman except her were instruments of the devil. And it's just like, I don't really get that. She's psycho. She's crazy as hell. But, she reserved every time in the afternoon to read to them from the Bible, usually selecting verses from the Old Testament concerning death, murder, and retribution. Probably said that wrong, but and this is how crazy she was, right? So people said that Ed was a really shy person, and his classmates and teachers remembered him as having like he was a little off, and by off they meant like he would always randomly laugh to himself. And I'm like, well, I must be crazy because I laugh to myself all the time, but then I'm funny, so like when I make jokes in my head I laugh, so I was laughing like before I started anyways, but it's not me, it's about him. And so he usually randomly laughed to himself as if he were laughing at his own personal jokes. To make matters worse, his mother used to punish him whenever he tried to make friends. Now, this is despite his poor social development. He did fairly well in school and actually was a really, really good reader. Now we're talking about his mom. Him and his mom were really, really close despite her being crazy. But his dad ended up dying of heart failure because he drank so much alcohol. So in 1940, his dad passed at the age of 66. Then his mother passed away. Now, this is the one that hurt him the most. His mother passed away on December 29th, 1945, at the age of 67. It's pretty sad because this is actually when he kind of like lost his shit. It basically, he lost a part of him. They said he was never the same. Now, he stood at the farm, and his crimes started on the morning of November 16, 1957. Now, he went to a hardware store, who the owner was Bernice Worden, and she ended up disappearing because he obviously took her. And around 9:30 a.m., people were noticing, like, you know, the hardware store closed. She should be here. So then her son ends up going to the store around 5 p.m. To just find that the cash register was open and bloodstains were everywhere on the floor. Now, so Frank Worden told the investigators, which was the woman's son, that Ed had been in the store that evening before his mother's disappearance, and that he would return the next morning for a gallon of antifreeze. And a sales slip for the gallon of antifreeze was the last on the register, on the receipt, on the paper. So, of course, they put two and two together, and they ended up arresting him in a grocery store in West Plainfield. Now, this is, you know, obviously once, they didn't even realize how crazy or how deep this guy was. Like, so once they started investigating him, once they started interviewing him, they started discovering how sick this guy was. So they went to his house. They discovered Warden's decapitated body in a shed in Jean's property. Now, she was hung upside down by her legs with a crossbar at her ankles and ropes at her waist. The torso was dressed out like a deer. So I guess he cut her body in the middle and just like took everything out, obviously, from it. And it was just hanging. Like, her body was just hanging. Now, she had been... That's not how she died. She basically, he shot her with a .22 caliber rifle. And then mutilated her body after she already had passed. Now, this is... This guy is a fucking... Sorry, I didn't mean to curse, but this guy's sick. So this is... this is everything else that they found. It's a crazy-ass list. So, it was a whole human bone and fragments. It was human skin covering several chairs. He used skulls, human skulls, on as a bowl. So he will have cereal off it, anything, soup, anything like that. He had leggings made from human leg skin. He had masks made from the skin of female's head. He had Mary Hoggins' face as a mask in a paper bag, and he had her skull in a box. And that's another woman, not Bernice. That wasn't Bernice. Bernice's entire head was in a burlap sack. Don't even know what that is. And her heart was in a plastic bag in front of... So it was in a plastic bag in front of his potbelly stove. And there was nine different shoes in different boxes. There was a young girl's dress in his house. A belt made from female human nipples. Yeah, you heard that right. Human nipples. Four noses. A pair of lips on a window shade. And fingernails from female's fingers. And a nipple doorbell. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff that they found, but those are like the crazy ones. They're all crazy, but this guy is really sick, so I can't even imagine the way that place smelled. But anyways, so they were all, of course, photographed and sent to the crime laboratory and then destroyed. When questioned, Jean told investigators that between 1947 and 1952, He made as many as 40 visits to three local graveyards to exhume recently buried bodies while he was in a, quote, a daze-like state. Now, on about 30 of those visits, he said he came out of the daze, quote, he came out of the daze while in the cemetery, left the grave in good order, and returned home empty-handed. Now, on other occasions, he dug up the graves of recently buried middle-aged women he thought resembled his mother. Now, remember, I told you guys, him and his mom were really, really close. So when she passed, like, he basically lost his shit. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever seen Bates Motel. Like, he had a crazy obsession with his mom, and he kind of, like, unburied her, like, took his mom's body and just was, like, with it the whole time. But this is, like, something else. This guy is, like, trying to get people who look like his mother to skin them and trying to create a body, like, of his mom so he can get in it, like, a legend. I don't know. It's crazy. Like, you ever had, like, a footsies? He's trying to basically make a footsies out of human skin of his mother. So, he's sick. Basically, was that. And, and then after he found people who resembled his mother, he took the bodies home where he tanned their skin to make it look realer, because I'm guessing probably dirty. This guy's just like grabbing people's bodies from the dirt, so he'll clean them. And then he tanned their skin. Now, Ed admitted to stealing from 9 graves from the local cemeteries and led investigators to their locations. Now, the casters were inside wooden boxes, and top board ran across. The tops of the boxes were about 2 feet, 60 cm, I don't know what that means, but below the surface, it was sandy soil. Now, Ed had robbed the grave soon after the funeral. The funerals had finished, so the graves were not completed yet. So I'm guessing he just stocked the grave sites. I don't know. That's sick. So the test graves were exhumed because authorities were uncertain as to whether the sleight of Jean was capable of single-handedly digging up the graves during a single evening. They were found as Ed described, two of the exhumed graves were found empty. So they were able to find some of the graves empty from their bodies. Now, soon after his mother's death, Ed began to create a woman suit. So this is what I was telling you guys about earlier, about the kind of like the footsie thing. So he was basically trying to create a woman suit so that he could become his mother, to literally crawl into her skin. He's fucking sick. Ed denied having sex with any of the bodies he exhumed, because he basically, quote, he said that they smelled so bad that he couldn't. But you're trying to put yourself into this body, but you can't. I mean, hey, I don't know. This guy is nuts. So during the state crime laboratory, Ed also admitted to the shooting death of Mary Hagen. And that's the person I was like telling you guys about earlier, about when they found some of the stuff, like the skulls and stuff. That's Mary is one of the person he also shot. It was only two people he basically killed, and then over 40 is what they're saying, over 40 bodies that he dug up from the graves. So he only killed two, Mary. Now, he did say he killed Mary, and she was basically a tavern owner, and she was missing from 1954. Now, she's one of the, like I said, she was one of the people that they found in his house, which was, they found her head. But then he later denied her death. So, quote unquote, he denied that after he said that he did it. Now, on November 21st, 1957, he was in the one count of first degree murder. And he obviously pled not guilty by reason of insanity. Now, a doctor did say that he was basically found mentally incompetent. Basically, he was unfit for the trial. And so, in 1968, the doctors basically said that he was mentally able to confer with counsel about his defense. The trial began, so basically the trial began in November of 7, 1968, and lasted about a week. So he had to serve life in a crazy hospital, because he was found that he was literally insane. So Ed basically died at the Mendota Mental Health Institution due to respiratory failure and lung cancer. So he died at the age of 77 in the Mendota Mental Health Institution. So he was obviously a sick person who needed help. I feel like his mom really didn't help him the way she should have, but her dying really didn't help anything and made everything worse, because now obviously he became one of those sick people who was just trying to, he was trying so hard to make other people into his mom out of skin. And so the movie obviously made it extra in ways of like him killing people, because he really didn't kill as many people as the Chainsaw Massacre did. He basically just killed two people and then sickeningly went to people's cemetery a couple hours or days after the funeral and dug their bodies up and took them home. So it just goes to show his state of mind. Like, I don't know who in their right mind would dig up a person who was just dug and then start skinning them and using their face for different things, making lampshades out of skin. He made everything. Like, he even had like a belt with like with human nipples in there. And it's just like, I don't know what he was thinking when he was doing that, but yeah, so that's the story of Edward Theodore Jean. And I hope you guys like it. I was supposed to drop something last Monday, but I wasn't able to because a lot of crap's been going on and I didn't have the time, but I definitely had to do one for tomorrow for you guys. And I'm so thirsty, God. Let me get something to drink. Let me sip on this margarita real quick. And I just want to thank you guys for your understanding. And yeah, I just really hope everyone is handling this quarantine life easy, because I'm not. I feel like I'm going crazy. And I kind of miss work, because it's crazy how when you work and you're going to work every single day, you're like, yeah, I want to be home. But then when you're working from home and you have a million things to do, you trying to cook, take care of your kid, do work and all that, you're just like pulling your damn anus hairs out and whatnot. But I really hope you guys are hanging in there. You guys are more than welcome to contact me about any true crime story that you guys just want to talk to me about, and we can just like, you know, talk about what you think, or any cold cases or any missing people, whatever. Like, or if you just need someone to talk to because you're going crazy in your house because of the quarantine, hit me up. Like, on my link, on my Instagram, my Facebook, even my friend texts me. If you're my friend on social media, just send me a DM. And just, you know, just let me know, or send me an email at crimearita94@gmail.com. And, yeah. Peace out. Oh, 22 minutes? Not bad. I hope everything came out good. Still recording, so. All right, hanging up.